Okay, good morning. Happy Chanukah, everyone. All right, we're on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph in Gemara Beitza, and we have a fresh new Mishnah, a fresh new topic. The Mishnah says, Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Motzien Lo Asakatan V'lo Asalua V'lo Asefer Torah L'Rishas Sarabim. On Yontif, according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to carry a katan, a child, or a luav, even if it's to do a mitzvah, sefer Torah. You're not allowed to carry any item to the Rishus HaRabim or within the Rishus HaRabim, Daon Amos. Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel say that it's mutter. And we'll see in a moment why. The Gemara says, Tani Tana Kameid Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi introduced the following Bryce was introduced in front of him. Hashochet Olas Nedava Biyom Tov Lokeh. Someone who shechs a karban ola, which is a nedava, which is a voluntary offering on Yontif, gets malchus. There are two characteristics of this that are relevant. One is the fact that it's an ola, which means that there's no component of it that's eaten. The whole thing is burnt. So you can't justify shechting this animal on Yontif on the basis of ochel nefesh. You're not going to eat it. And second of all, it's a nedava. It's not a chova. If it were a chova, so then the Torah says you got to bring this carbon today. There's nothing to talk about. The carbon tamid, the carbon, the musafin that are brought on Yontif. So there, clearly, you're allowed to shech those karbanos on Yontif. But this is a nedava. You could have waited till later in the week to bring it. And so therefore, there's no justification for shechting it, and therefore you get malchus. So Amar Alei, so Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi responded and said, to Amar Al-Khamani, who's the author of this braisa? Beis Shammai, it must be Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai takes the view that we don't say mitoch. Mitoch is how we're going to refer to this concept throughout the Masechta. The concept of mitoch says the following. Mitoch is mitoch since a certain malacha, such as hotzah, was permitted for ochel nefesh. So therefore, we're gonna open the gates and we're going to allow all violations of that malacha. In other words, the malacha basically falls away. Mitoch, because this malacha is permissible in the context of ochel nefesh in order to prepare food for eating on Yontif, so therefore you can do this malacha even for a non-food purpose. That's the concept of mitoch. So he says, Beis Shammai is the Tana who holds that lo amrina mitoch, that we don't say mitoch. How does he know that? From our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah had said, Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to carry on Yontif, as opposed to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to carry on Yontif. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is saying that Beis Hillel allows carrying on Yontif because mitoch. Since you would be allowed to carry food on Yontif in order to consume it, in order to bring it to a meal, so therefore you're allowed to carry in any event. And Beis Shammai doesn't hold of mitoch. He doesn't allow you to carry just because you can carry food. So again, he says, who's the author of this braisa that said that you're liable, malchus, for shechting and oas nedava on Yontif? It must be Beis Shammai, because he's the one who says lo amrina mitoch. Di Beis Hillel, because if it were Beis Hillel, ha'amri mitoch shochro tzawa tzarech uchronami shalom tzarech. He is of the view, of the opinion, that since tzah is permitted in order to bring food to the table, so it's uchronami shalom tzarech, it would be permissible even shalom tzarech. And therefore, that's why Beis Hillel in our Mishnah says mutter, and he would have allowed shechting a hachinami. So here too, mitoch shochro shchito tzarech. Just like shchita is permitted with tzorech ochel nefesh in order to procure food, hutrunami shlo tzorech. So therefore, in our case, in this braisa of hashochet olas nedava on Yontif, someone who shechs their karban ola on Yontif, it would be permitted even shlo tzorech ochel nefesh, even though it's not for purposes of getting food. Fine, that's how they set up the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel up till now. So comes along Rabba. Maske for Rabba. Rabba challenges this interpretation of our Mishnah, and he says, Mimai de Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel b'hapligi. How do you know that this is the issue on which Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree? Mitoch. Dilma be'iruv v'hotzala Shabbos ve'in eiruv v'hotzala Yom Tov k'mifugei. Maybe they argue more fundamentally as to whether or not there is a malacha of carrying, whether or not there is a prohibition against carrying on Yontif altogether. Now we know there's a prohibition against carrying the Aled Amos Rishus Rabim on Shabbos, or carrying from one Rishus to another on Shabbos, but we don't necessarily know that it applies to Yontif as well. Why is that? Let's see. Mar Savar, one opinion holds, meaning Beis Shammai holds, Eruv Vehotza LeShabbos, Eruv Hotza LeYom Tov, that it applies equally to Yontif, just as it applies to Shabbos. Umar Savar, Eruv Hotza LeShabbos, Ve'inotz Eruv Hotza LeYom Tov. And Beis Hillel says that we don't apply Eruv and Hotza to Yontif in the same way that we apply it to Shabbos. Rashi points out that they throw in the words Eruv here because typically these go together. If there's an Isser Eruv, there's going to be a fix of that Isser with an Eruv. I'm sorry, if there's an Isser of Otsa, there's going to be a fix with an Eruv. So it's kind of one concept that's all thrown together. How does Beis Hillel know, or from where does Beis Hillel derive, according to Rabbah, that there's no such thing as Hotsa on Yontif? Kedichsiv, so he quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah, which refers to the Isser of Otsa on Shabbos. B'Shabbos in B'Yom Tavlo. But the Gemara, or Rabbah, highlights the fact that this pasuk, or Yirmiyah, is only exhorting the Bnei Yisrael not to carry things on Shabbos. Not to carry things on Shabbos. He highlights Shabbos, he leaves out Yontif. The clear implication, says Beis Hillel, is that there's no such thing as an Isser Hotza on Yontif at all. No such thing as an Isser Hotza on Yontif at all. Okay, so Maskev for Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef now challenges Rabbah, and he says, Elameata Lifugu Ba'avanim. If that's true that Beis Hillel has no concept of Hotza, of the Isser of Hotza on Yontif at all, so then the machokes in the Mishnah shouldn't have just been about whether you're allowed to carry your child, or rather you're allowed to carry a Sefer Torah or a Luav outside in the Rishus HaRabim on Yontif. It should have been a much more earth-shattering machokes and much more fundamental machokes where they argue about the very concept of Muksa itself. Because the fascinating Rashi Dibur Mascha Lufchugu Ba'avanim, right to the side here, points out that the whole justification that we've been talking about muksa now for 12 blah, we haven't really gotten into why there is such a concept as of muksa. So Rashi explains that the whole concept of muksa is based on the Isser Otsa. Chazal were concerned that if they allowed you to pick up and move objects on Shabbos, you would very likely pick up this bagel, and you'd walk outside and walk Dalet Amos Birshus Arabim with these objects. And so therefore they made a gzeirah drabanan of muktza in order to disallow you to move anything. Now, they would have made a gzeirah drabanan not allowing you to move anything in order to protect against the Isser Tiltul Dalet Amos Birshus Arabim. But Chazal realized that if they were going to do that, right, if they were going to say that you can't move literally anything, you can't pick up a fork, you can't pick up your bagel, you can't pick up anything, that would be a gzeir she'inat sibur yachol amod ba. That's just impossible to imagine, that you can't move anything on Shabbos. And so therefore Chazal had to set boundaries and had to set categories for what could be moved and what could not be moved. And so they allowed you to move kalim, things that actually have usage. They allowed you to pick up and move food, basically ochel and kelim. And things other than ochel and kelim, such as rocks, such as things that have no purpose, the things that are not utensils, not kelim, those are the things that they prohibited. They didn't allow you to move. That's the origin, says Rashi, of the Isser Muktzah. And so what Rav Yosef is saying here is, if it's true that Beis Hillel permits you absolutely to carry Arba Amos Birshus HaRabim on Yontif, there's no such thing as an Isser Otsa on Yontif at all, so then you'd never hear of the concept of Muksa on Yontif at all. And they should have been arguing on that point in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai says there is such a thing as Muksa on Yontif, and Beis Hillel says there's no such thing as a Muksa on Yontif. You can even move rocks. And so, Ela Midolom Miflugi Ba'avanim, says Rav Yosef, the fact that they didn't argue in the Mishnah on that very issue of rocks, of whether you can move anything on Shabbos, Shema mina be'otsa shelo utzorach pligi. So he says you can be sure, you can rest assured that the machlokes really does depend on, or really does revolve around the issue of mitoch. Of mitoch shehutzro utzorach hutzronami shelo utzorach. That's really what they're arguing about. And this is essentially the conclusion of the Gemara as to the origin of that brisa quoted by Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, that Ashochet Olos Nadav B'Yom Tov Loka, that's only going to be according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel holds Mitoch, as we know from our Mishnah, from the fact that you can do one malacha for Tzorach Achol Nefesh, so that you could derive from there Mitoch Shishur Shul Tzorach Shishur Nami Shul Tzorach. You could use that. You could violate that malacha. You could do that malacha even if it's not Tzorach Achol Nefesh. Even if it's not Shul Tzorach Achol Nefesh. Now, Tosfos, the very bottom Tosfos here, points out something very important, and that is that, I mean, Tosfos has a more fundamental disagreement with Rashi as to how to read the sugya. But what emerges from that Tosfos la'alacha is that even if it's not for Tzorach Achol Nefesh, if you're, let's say, for example, carrying or burning a fire, cooking, Shelo Tzorach Achol Nefesh on Yontif, it needs to be for a Tzorach of some sort, right? So, for example, on Yontif, we generally assume that you could carry without an Eruv on Yontif. But the truth is that you could really only carry without an Eruv on Yontif for something that has a Tzorach. So if you have literally crumbling dirty tissues in your pocket that have absolutely no tzorach, you can't reuse them, they're just sitting there. You have rocks in your pocket on Yontif. I mean, they're probably muksa anyway, but, you know.
Separately.
I'm sorry?
Rocks would be muksa separately.
Yeah, they'd be muksa separately. But if you can imagine, you know, carrying something for absolutely no tzorach at all, so that would be prohibited on Yontif. That would be prohibited on Yontif. Even though we generally assume that you can carry on Yontif. An Eruv would solve that problem, however. So there is some utility to having an Eruv on Yontif. And in fact, set aside the Chalas, we say that this is an Eruv for Shabbos and Yontif, right? So you could ask, why do you need an Eruv on Yontif? The answer is, you need it for carrying Shelo Tzorach. If the occasion arose where someone was carrying something Shelo Tzorach on Yontif, the Eruv would solve that problem. The other thing to consider with respect to this concept of mitoch plays a large role in Hilchos Yontif, as we know. You know, the whole concept, the whole idea that you can use a fire to warm up your house, right? Even though it's not shelo tzorach ochel nefesh, or the fact that you can carry shelo tzorach ochel nefesh as long as it has some kind of tzorach, that we live with that every Yontif. That's a real heter that we really rely on. It's interesting that it only applies and is only cited with respect to those two malachos. It's only really Havara and Hotzah that we say mitoch shehutra shelutzorach ochel nefesh shehutra nami shelutzorach. Right? If not, we would be a free game. You could do basically anything on Yontif. You could say, look, you could do any malacha lutzorach ochel nefesh, and therefore mitoch shehutra shelutzorach ochel nefesh shehutra shelutzorach. So, you know, you could do whatever you want on Yontif. That's not true. We only apply it to the malachos of Hotzah and Ochel Nefesh. And Havara. Havara because that is, you know, the quintessential malacha with respect to preparing food is Havara. That's how you cook food. You cook it with fire. And Hotzah, the post can talk about it being a malacha grua, that unlike just about every other malacha, Hotzah doesn't effect a physical or a chemical change to the item, right? Think about it. Any other malacha, you're doing something. You're weaving a sweater. You're making a new sweater. You're kind of changing the form of the thing. If you cook something, you're changing its chemical composition because you cook it. If you build something, you're changing the way it looks. You're building a new structure. As opposed to Hotzah, you're simply moving something from one area to another. Nothing's changing inherently about the object. So that's why it's considered a malacha grua, which has other nafkaminas, other practical implications, la'alacha. But that's why this we kind of let slip in under the radar and apply mitoch to Hotzah as well.
Light?
I'm sorry?
Turning on a light,
that is interesting. That's the poskim talk about that, and it implicates other issues that are not necessarily limited to Havara. There's a problem of nolad when you turn on the light from scratch. That's why you're not allowed to light a match on Yontif, right? You have to take it from an existing flame. So there's a problem of Nolad with creating an existing flame. There might also be problems with Bonet in terms of circuitry and stuff like that. So it's not so simple you could just turn on a light or even adjust the light.
The one I was if Yontif is using hot water from the sink. So you're cooking water, but it's not a tzarech ochel, you know, by actually using the hot water and how that applies with the...
Well, the hot water typically is used for ochel nefesh. And the malacha that you're implicating...
For washing dishes.
Oh, for washing dishes. Okay, but the malacha there is havara.
Right.
So havara is mitoch shushra. So exactly, that's an application of mitoch shushra.
I thought
I'm
not supposed to learn things out from Nah. So how is it that the Gemara brings it down that Hillel's opinion is from Yirmiyahu?
I don't know that it's true that you're not allowed to learn things from Nah. We don't generally...
We don't paskin from Nah, though.
Well, if there's a tradition, the answer is you don't paskin in a vacuum from Nah. But if there's a tradition... this Amora had a tradition. These Tanaim had a tradition in that way, and they used the pasuk from Tanakh as a proof for their tradition. It's the proof. Okay, so the Gemara now says V'afra of Yochanan Savar b'mitoch shuchur hotzalot zorach luchur amishol zorach pligi, and Rav Yochanan also agrees that this is the proper interpretation of our Mishnah, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing on the issue of mitoch, of whether you can of mitoch. The Tani Tana Kamei Rav Yochanan, because a brisa was brought to Rav Yochanan that said the following: Hamavashel Gid Hanasha Bechalav Biyom Tov VeAchlo. Let's say you take a Gid Hanasha. So Gid Hanasha, we learned in the last week's parsha, two parshios ago. Gid Hanasha is aser. You're not allowed to eat the Gid Hanasha. That's the certain sinew in the thigh of the animal. You're not allowed to eat that. So let's say you cook the Gid Hanasha in milk on Yontif and you eat it. So that sounds like a terrible idea. You've done a lot of bad things. And the Gemara says, Lo kechamesh. The Brisa says, Lo kechamesh. You get falkas for five violations. What are the five? Lo kemishum mevashel gid. Number one, you are lo kech because you've cooked a gid anasha on yantif. You're not allowed to cook on yantif. The lo kemishum ochel gid. You get malkas for eating a gid. You're not allowed to eat in a gid. The lo kemishum mevashel basar b'chalov. You get malkas for cooking basar b'chalov together. The pasuk, the Torah talks about the Isser of Basar B'chalov three times in the Torah. One is for the Isser Achila, one's for the Isser Bishul, one's for the Isser Hana. So here at least one of these malchus is for the Isser of Bishul Basar B'chalov. The Loka Mishum Ochel Basar B'chalov, you get malchus for eating the Basar B'chalov. The Loka Mishum Havara. And finally, you get malchus for kindling the fire, for making the fire bigger, for using... working with fire on Yantif. So five malachos. Amrlei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded when he heard this. He said, Pok Tani Uvra, send this Mishnah out. Meaning this is an improper recital of that Mishnah. You have a bad tradition. That's not really what the Mishnah is, or the Brisa is. Havara u'bishol eino Mishnah. You don't really get malchus for Havara and Bishol on Yantif. Why? Because it's mitoch. And then he says, "Vim tim salomer mishnah." And if you want to argue that no, those two malchus stay in the brisa, that it is a proper rendition of the brisa. So then that makes sense only if you say Beis Shammai. It must be according to the minority view of Beis Shammai. Da amri lo amrinan mitoch shuchro tzarach hutranami shlo tzarach. Beis Shammai is the one that rejects the notion of mitoch, right, based on our Mishnah. So hachanami amrinan mitoch shuchro havaro tzarach hutranami shlo tzarach. Just like Beis Shammai doesn't hold of mitoch with respect to, or in the context of hotzah, so here too, Beis Shammai rejects the concept of mitoch with respect to havara. Beis Hillel, because if you were going to say that this brisa is consistent with Beis Hillel, that can't be. Just like in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel took the view that just like Hotzah is mutter with tzorach ochel nefesh, it's mutter also shelo with tzorach ochel nefesh. So achanami mitoch shuchra avara with tzorach chutranami shelo tzorach. So here too, just like Havara should be permitted or is permitted for tzorach achol nefesh, it should be permitted even shelo tzorach achol nefesh. Again, in the context of this giran nasha, you're not eating this giran, you're not supposed to be eating the giran nasha, and so therefore it's not with tzorach achol nefesh. Tosos on the top here. You have no tzorach at all. So that's the Tosos at the very, very top here of Amud Beis addresses that question. Right? Tosos himself was the one who set that rule. Now, a few lines later in the Gemara, he seemed to be saying that even without any tzorach at all. So Tosos says it might be that it's not tzorach ochel nefesh because you're not allowed to eat the gid, but this person who's cooking it seems to think that there's some kind of tzorach. He, in his mind, is doing it. So that counts as the minimal tzorach that's required for mitoch.
Even if you're allowed to cook for eating, even if you're not supposed to be eating that food, he's still cooking for eating.
So you can make that argument that it even rises to the level of tzorach ochel nefesh because this guy is cooking for himself. But we don't say that. We say that when the Torah allows tzorach ochel nefesh, it means permissible forms of ochel nefesh of eating.
Let's say there's a chol over there.
That's interesting. That's a good question. I guess the answer is that would be tzorach ochel nefesh if the only thing he could eat is this. Yeah.
Chol for Shabbos out throws everything out. So
yeah, right. He's not going to get malchus no matter what he does, right?
But don't we have a concept that you only get one set of malchus? You can't. Beis Din can't issue more than one set of malchus. Don't we have that concept in the Gemara?
No, there is a concept of kimlei b'drabaminei. Where if you have a different, more stringent punishment, that exempts you from the less stringent punishment, right? So, for example, if you
but that means hypothetically, Beckham could give 200 malchus minus 5.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but that would kill the person.
Right. So, I mean, so there's separate sugyas in Sanhedrin talk about the fact that if they see that the person's about to die, they stop the malchus. If the person gets very embarrassed, they stop the malchus. There are all sorts of things that will intercede. But on the basic level, a person can be chayav of multiple sets of malchus for one set of actions, like here.
That's the whole stuff is malchus. It all is different.
Yeah, right. That's right. It's almost a game. You try to figure out how many malchus you could accrue from one action.
So this just proved that there's a machlokas.
So all this just proves that Rav Yochanan also agrees that the machlokas in our Mishnah revolves around the concept of mitoch, as opposed to any other consideration you might have thought, such as whether fundamentally you're allowed to carry or not on Yontif. That's not the issue. Everyone agrees you're not allowed to carry on Yontif, and it's only because of mitoch that you are. Okay. Now we have a new Mishnah. The new Mishnah talks about the concept that you're not allowed to present to a Kohen various matnos kahuna on Yontif, even though you might be allowed to be mafresh them. The starting point with this Mishnah is that you're not allowed to be mafresh truma on Yontif itself. You are allowed to be mafresh, obviously, truma from before Yontif and then eat the stuff on Yontif. But the question is, there are other things that you are allowed to be mafresh on Yontif because Chazal permitted you to be mafresh these things on Yontif because if you couldn't be mafresh them, then you couldn't go ahead and eat them. So they wanted you to be able to eat them, so they said, okay, you can be mafresh these things on Yontif, such as the Zroa, the Chayayim, the Keva, such as Chala. So these are going to be referred to in the Mishnah as Chala and Matanos, as opposed to Truma, which is not permitted to be separated and in Yontif. And then we're going to see there's a machlokas as to whether once something has already been separated, can you then present it to the Kohen on Yontif. So the Mishnah says as follows: Beishamai Omrim, Ein Molichin Chala Umatanos LeKohen Biyom Tov, Bein Shehurmer Me'amesh, Bein Shehurmer Me'ayom. Regardless of when you separated these items, whether it be before Yontif, whether it be on Yontif, Beishamai says you're not allowed to present, to give the Chala, or give the Zroa, the Chayayim, the Keva, various Matnas Kuna, to the Kohen on Yontif. Rashi explains that this is all Gezerah Drabanan, in the view of Beis Shammai, Gezerah Drabanan, to protect against the real Isser, which is Hafrashas Truma. So Chazal made a takana that you're not allowed to give these items to the Kohen, to kind of put you on alert that Truma, which is the kind of quintessential gift to a Kohen, is prohibited not only to be given to the Kohen, but also to be separated. So they said, don't give any Matnas Kuna to a Kohen. Uvesil Matir, and Uvesil said, it's permissible. So Amru Lahem Beis Shammai. So the Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, Gezeira Shava. Now Rashi points out this is not a classical Gezeira Shava in the biblical sense where we put two words together and derive a halacha from it. This is an analogy. Gezeira Shava, Chala Umatanos. Chala Matanos, Matano Kohen. Chala and Matanos are various matnas kuhuna, or matanos that you give to the Kohen, or gifts to the Kohen. Utruma Matano Kohen, and Truma is also a Matano Kohen. Kishem, Shein Malichin Es HaTruma, just like everyone agrees, you can't give Truma to a Kohen and Yantif, Kach Ein Malichin Es HaMatanos. You're also not allowed to give Matanos to the Kohen, as we said earlier, Rashi points out, as a Gezer Drabanan. So Amru Lehem Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel responded, Woe, Im Amartem Bitruma, Sheino Zakai Bahara Masa, that might be true by Truma, where everyone agrees, everyone knows that you're not allowed to be Mafresh Truma on Yantif. Tomru b'matanos shazakai b'aramasan. But the other matanos are very different from truma because they are allowed to be separated on yontif. So once they're already in a different category, they're allowed to be separated on yontif. So we see they're very different from truma. Truma, it's true, you're not allowed to be mafresh truma, and therefore you're not allowed to give truma to the kohen. But these things which you're allowed to separate on yontif, so then no problem, you can give them to the kohen. In other words, we basically are not going to enact this gezera that you Beis Shammai are insistent on enacting. So now the Gemara says, Kasalka daitach, shehurmur mayom, vishenishchatu mayom, vishehurmur mayamish, vishenishchatu mayamish. Our starting assumption is that our mission is talking about across the board, meaning Beis Shammai is going to prohibit giving to a kohen whether or not you separated these things today, or whether you separated them yesterday before Yontif, and Beis Hillel is going to permit giving to the Kohen, again, whether you separated it today or whether you separated yesterday. No one's distinguishing between separating yesterday, separating today. The reason you might think that separating yesterday is more chamor, that you should not be, all the more so, not be allowed to give, is because you had the opportunity to give it yesterday before Yontif, and so maybe we would penalize you for having failed to do so. But the Gemara is saying, don't think that way. Across the board, regardless of whether it was separated yesterday or today, you're not allowed to give these things to the Kohen according to Beis Shammai. You are allowed to give the things according to Beis Hillel.
What's the issue here with the Matanos? Is it, you know, the Kinyan? Is there a problem?
Well, the starting point for all of this is the Isser HaFrashas Truma, which is an Isser of Mesakein Mana, right? Here you have something that's, if the Truma has not been separated from it, you're not allowed to eat it. And now by separating the truma, you're making it into something that's permissible to be eaten. You're changing its status. That's considered misakein mana, which is an isser. You're not allowed to do that. You're to change the status of something on yontif, make it permissible to be eaten, is a problem. And that's where everything derives from there. That's where Beis Shammai get their gezeira from. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to present the following. Money must nizen. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yossi, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda, el Acherim. It's not Rabbi Yossi, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Acherim. And there, now the Gemara is going to quote a Tosefta that cites the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi and Acherim. I made a chart because it gets confusing. I don't know if anyone can see it. Can you see it?
No.
We'll try. Well, we have to say it out anyway, so we'll...
Really?
I wish I had an easel.
Pass it around.
Well, I need to follow it myself. Okay. So, Tanya. So, here's the Tosefta. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo nechuku, and each of these Tanayim are analyzing our Mishnah. Lo nechuku beis shamai, I shouldn't say it. They're analyzing our... Oh, good. They're analyzing our machlokas. So, he says, Lo nechuku beis shamai ubeis silal, Al matanos shehurmu me'erev yom tov, shemolichin im matanos shehurmu me'hayom, v'shenishchatu me'hayom. So, here, let's do it this way. There are three categories we're talking about here. We're talking about truma, which was clearly separated yesterday, right, me'amish, from yesterday, because you're not allowed to separate truma today. Then you have the matanos and the chala, which you could either have separated them today, you could separate them yesterday. So it goes in terms of stringency, if these things were separated yesterday, it's more likely that you're not allowed to give them to the Kohen today. If the things I'm sorry. If the things were separated today, it's more likely that you should be allowed to give them to the Kohen today. If they were separated yesterday, it's less likely you should be able to give it to the Kohen today because you should have done it yesterday. And clearly, Truma, you're not allowed to give to the Kohen today. Let's see. So now the first thing is Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that with respect to Matanos and Chalo that were separated yesterday, right? So everyone agrees, he says, that if you give them together with stuff that's separated today, that's not a problem, right? If you're separating Truma today, if you're separating Truma today, says Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees you could give it. Not only that, but you could even throw in the stuff that was separated yesterday and do it together. The only place where there's a machlokas is where you're doing it alone. That's what he says. Wanechluku, the machlokas of Beishamai and Beishilo is only elohalichan bifnei atzman, to give these things that were separated separated yesterday to the Kohen without just those things alone. Beishamai omrin ein molichin. Beishamai says you can't bring them to the Kohen. Beishilo omrin molichin. The kach hayu Beishamai donin chalo matanos matanos Kohen. So the Beishamai argued to Beis Hillel that Chala and Matanos are a Matana, Utruma Matana Lekohen, and Truma is a Matana Lekohen. Kashen Shein Molichin is a Truma. Just like everyone agrees, you can't give Truma to the Kohen today. Kach Ein Molichin is a Matanos. So you can't give these Matanos alone today. And Amru and Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel respond, well, Ima Martin B'Truma Shein Ozakai Baramasa. That's true only by Truma, which is very stringent because you're not allowed to even separate Truma today. Tomru b'matanos shezakei baramasan, but matanos, which are a little less stringent because you're allowed to separate them today, so we're going to be a little more tolerant and you can give them to the Kohen even alone, even without mixing them up with stuff that had been separated today. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Amar Rav Yossi has a completely different take on the machlokas. So Rabbi Yossi says, regardless of whether the matanos were taken yesterday or today, everyone agrees that they can be given to a Kohen, says Rabbi Yossi. The only machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yossi, is on Truma. Beis Shammai omrim in molichin. Beis Shammai say, just like you can't separate, you can't give. Beis Hillel omrim molichin. And Beis Hillel says, you can give the truma that had been separated. V'kach hayu Beis Hillel donim. And Beis Hillel is making the argument to Beis Shammai. Chalo matanos matanol kohen. Chal and matanos are a gift to a kohen. Utruma matanol kohen and truma are a gift to a kohen. Kishem shemolichin es matanos, just like we know you're allowed to give other matanos kuna to the Kohen on Yontif, kach molichin es truma. So you could derive from there something radical that you could even give truma to the Kohen on Yontif. So Amru hem Beishamai. Beishamai says, no. Lo ima martin b'matanos shazakai baramasan. That logic applies, or we're going to be permissive with respect to generally with other matnas kuna because you're allowed to separate them on Yontif. Tomru b'truma shein zakai baramasa, but truma, you're not allowed to separate that on Yontif, and so therefore, you're not, says Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to deliver it to the Kohen on Yontif. But according to Rabbi Yossi, the machlokas is only by that most stringent case of truma. By the cases of matanos and chala, it's permissible to give them to the Kohen on Yontif. And then finally, Acherim Omrim, the third opinion is the Acherim. So the Acherim say, Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel ala truma shein molichin. Everyone agrees, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel all agree, you can't deliver truma to the Kohen on Yontif, just like you're not allowed to separate them. Lo nechluku el ala matanos. They only argue, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on matanos, Manaskun, or the other Manaskun and the Chala, Shebeis Shammai Omrim Ein Molichin, and notice here, he doesn't distinguish between whether they were separated today or yesterday. He just puts them all in one basket. Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Molichin. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to deliver them to the Kohen, but Beis Hillel Omrim Molichin. Beis Hillel says you are allowed to bring them to the Kohen. So now, here's the crux of our analysis. So the Gemara says, Lema Achirim Hi, Velo Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara suggests that our Mishnah, which also, remember, our Gemara started off by saying, our Mishnah doesn't distinguish between whether it was separated today or separated yesterday, and yet it cites the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel as to whether or not you could deliver those Matanos and the Challah. So our Mishnah sounds like it's following the view of Acherim. They don't distinguish between whether it was separated today, whether it was separated yesterday. In both cases, the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel apply. And only with respect to Truma is it impermissible to deliver it according to everyone. So it sounds like our Mishnah lines up pretty nicely with the view of the Acherim. So Amar Rava. So Rava says, don't be so quick to rule out Rabbi Yehuda. Mika tani shehurmu mehayom v'shenishchutu mehayom shehurmu katani. Our Mishnah didn't specify. Whether or not we're talking about giving the matanos that were separated yesterday or today. It was silent on that. And maybe we're only talking about situations, meaning maybe our Mishnah only applies where it had been separated from the day before, right? So that would mean he was basically reopening the possibility that it is Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that the machlokas only applies where the matanos were separated from the day before, right? So then the Gemara then takes that a step further and it says Lemo Rabbi Yehuda hi v'lo acherin. So the Gemara then says, well, if that's the way you're interpreting our Mishnah to say that it's only talking about situations where it was already separated from the day before, so maybe then that's the case. It's talking about situations where it was only the situations where it was separated from the day before, to the exclusion of situations where it was separated today, where everyone would agree that you can deliver it, where there's no machlokas beis shammai beis hillel. So maybe we're saying that our Mishnah is exclusively reflects the position of Rabbi Yehuda and not the Acherim, right? Leimer Rabbi Yehuda hivlo Acherim. So Gemara then says afilu tema Acherim. No. You could even say that the Acherim would join on to our Mishnah, even with that interpretation, even with that reading. Ubanach dinishchatu me'amish. And the Acherim, in fact, are only, if you remember, when the Acherim stated their position, they were just silent on this distinction. They didn't specify, or they didn't flag, or they didn't specifically say whether we're limiting the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel to situations where the separating happened before Yontif. They just said, "Lenechuku elala matanos." Right? They were silent on the issue. So the Gemara is now proposing that maybe the Acherim are similar to Rabbi Yehuda, saying that the Machlokas is really only in this category where the separating happened from beforehand. The Gemara then says, "Ihachi hainu Rabbi Yehuda." If that's the case, then there's no difference between the position of the Acherim and the position of Rabbi Yehuda. They're both saying the same thing. And the Gemara answers, no, ika beinayut tfeila, that there still would be a distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and Acherim, because if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda started off his position by saying that if the matanos that were separated yesterday are being delivered in tandem with the ones that were separated today, that would be okay. Acherim never talked about that dispensation. So the Gemara basically concludes is that Acherim and Rabbi Yehuda are basically saying the same thing as far as when the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel applies, and that is that it only applies to situations where it was separated yesterday, and so therefore Beis Shammai thinks there's a good reason to outlaw it because you had the opportunity to deliver the stuff to the Kohen yesterday. and the only difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Acherim is that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that even Beis Shammai is going to allow you to deliver those items if they're delivered in tandem with matanos that were given, that first separated today. It's a little complicated. That's why I made the chart. So feel free to take photos of the chart. But that's where things leave off. To make it very simpler, much simpler, the Gemara now basically just says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yosi." You could forget everything. The halacha is like Rav Yosi. I mean, don't forget everything. It's all Torah. But if you're looking for the halacha, says the Gemara, we paskin like Rav Yosi, which means that you can deliver to the Kohen any matanos, the zroah, the chayim, the keva, and chala on yontif, whether it was separated today, whether it was separated yesterday. Not only that, but there's even a machlokes beisham beis hillel on whether you could deliver truma. We paskin like beis hillel, so we could even give truma. Basically, the easy way to remember this is you could basically give a matnas kuna to a kohen on yontif, because we paskin like beis hillel within shitas Rabbi Yossi, that you can give everything to a kohen on yontif.
If I'm having a suitor and I invite a kohen, does that count?
Well, if you're going to send an invite a kohen, yeah, you could even pull out your special matnas kuna you've been saving in your refrigerator for a kohen, and you could give it to the kohen on yontif.
In the liquor cabinet.
In the liquor cabinet. Right.
It depends if I'm serving.
Rav Tuvi Braid, Rav Nechemya, Havle Garba, Dechamra, Detruma. So this Amora had a certain barrel of Truma that was waiting for a coin to be given to. Also, Kamed Rav Yosef, he came to Rav Yosef, Amrlo, Ma'u Atmuye, Lamtuye, Lakoin Haidna. Can I bring it to the coin today? It was Yantif. Armai Hachi Amr Rav Yudam Shmuel, Halachak Rav Yosef. He says, Rav Yudam Shmuel taught us. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, which means that the answer is yes. You can give your truma to the kohen on yontif. Okay, the next piece, the application and the relevance to our Gemara is not going to become apparent until the very bottom of the Amud and the next Amud, but we'll start it going, and we'll just bring it to the bottom of the Amud to work, and then next week we'll get into the meat and potatoes of this. So, Ushbezichne de Rava Barav Chanan, the guest of Rava Bar Rav Chanan, Havlai Asuraisa Dechardua. He had a bundle of mustard seeds that he wanted to eat on Yontif. It was still within the pods. So Amrulai Mawifruche Umecho Minayhu Beyontif. Am I allowed to pull the seeds out of the pods on Yontif? The problem here is the problem of Dash. Generally speaking, you're not allowed to separate the wheat kernel from the wheat chaff on Shabbos. And the way it's typically done is through a mechanism of dush, where you're basically crushing it, and that causes the two to separate. So that would be the problem. So, and that would apply to basically to any kidneys, anything within a pod, anything within, any kind of kernel within a covering, to separate them on Shabbos and Yontif would be a problem. So lo aviyadeh, he didn't know the answer. Also came to Rava, he went to Rava. Amarle, molin molilos mefarchin kidneys beyonto. So he said, you're allowed to use your fingers to kind of just rub them together and separate them on Yontif.
And specific.
It's not specific to wheat, no. In fact, it says mefarchin kidneys, beans, so peas. So yeah, this is all relevant to the halachic issue of whether you're allowed to crush nuts, walnuts, peanuts on Shabbos, sunflower seeds. It's all discussion among the poskim as to whether or not you're allowed to.
You know how they eat garinim in there, it's a show.
Yes, obviously, right. So this particular mechanism to roll them in your fingers is permissible in Yontif. Rashi points out that this is kilachar yad, this is a shinoi. On Shabbos, it is prohibited midurabanan, because it's not the actual tolda of dash, because it's dash shinoi. And on Yontif, because of ochel nefesh, the rabbis didn't prohibit this. And so you're allowed to kind of, in your fingers, rub these grains, or rub the pods in a certain way to separate the grain, the kernels from the pods. There are all sorts of considerations that come into play that are relevant to the consideration of cracking nuts on Shabbos. I think ultimately the heterim that we rely on have to do with the fact that unlike grain seeds, where the kernel is kind of attached to the thing, when it comes to to nuts, it's not. It kind of rattles inside.
Walnuts are really.
Okay, so I don't know the whole halachic literature, but this is the issue. This is it's relevant to that issue. So anyway, so he said that you can do this in this certain way. You can do it in this kilachar yad way on Yontif, even though it would be impermissible on Shabbos. It would be permitted on Yontif. Again, this doesn't fall in the general category of Ochel Nefesh, because if you remember on the very, very first year we learned that Ochel Nefesh only applies Melisha Ve'ela. This, it only applies to kind of the later stages of bread making. You know, generally only applies to cooking, right? That's what you're allowed to do with Mishum Ochel Nefesh. These are other melachos that implicate the preparation of food, that are implicated in the preparation of food. And so it's only because this is a shinoi and the Chacham didn't extend their gzera to this that you're allowed to do this on Yontif. But we'll see in a moment, you can only do it on kind of a retail basis, in a household basis. You can't do it on an industrial level. Let's see. So Esavei Abaye. So Abaye now brings a brisa or a tosefta as a question to this. Hamoa Moilos Me Erev Shabbos. Someone who did this, who on Friday, in preparation for Shabbos, separated the grain from the chaff. Umachar Minafeach Miad Liad. So on the next day, he's allowed to sieve it, and he's allowed to separate the two. All right, and there's the first stage is to kind of crush it so that they are separated, but it's still a mixture. And then the next day, he's allowed to separate them. But you can't use a certain kalim that Rashi explains. One was a kli that kind of was a has a narrowing thing at the bottom, and you shake it, and that allows the smaller pieces to get through, and the bigger pieces stay at the top. A tamchui is a large plate that similarly acts as a sieve. So you can't use these tools to do it. And then he says, similarly, the Tosefta says, Hamoa Melilos Mer of Yom Tov, someone who, Hamoa Melilos Mer Yom Tov, if you crush it, separate them, but you fail to remove them totally, on Erev Yom Tov, L'machar Menafeach Al Yad Ayad, so then you could do it. Al Yad Rashi says means ma'at in small quantities on Yontif. You can separate the two va'ochel and eat it. Afilu b'knon va'afilu b'tamchoi, even using these certain tools, avalo b'tavlo b'vnapa b'kivra. You can't use certain other tools that are done in a more industrial level of production, that are done in greater quantities. So the idea being that on Yontif, apparently you can do this. You can separate these. It's not a problem on Yontif, but you cannot do it in large quantities because that would be like hachana, you'd be doing it for after Yontif. The Gemara says, "May Erev Yom Tov in be Yom Tov lo." The implication is you're only allowed to do this on Erev Yontif. You're only allowed to do Molam Lios, crush the thing to separate the chaff from the wheat on Erev Yom Tov, but not on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, "No, afilu tema be Yom Tov." Really, consistent with what we said above of Molam Lios, you can do it on Yontif itself. It just said Me'er of Yom Tov because the first part, the Reisha, said Me'er of Shabbos because on Shabbos you can't do this. And so just to keep it parallel, it said the second part when it was talking about Hilchos Yontif, it said the same situation where you were doing this on Er of Yontif and now it's talking about what's permissible to do on Yontif itself. Fine. The next question it's going to ask on this Tosefta is relevant to the sugya we've been talking about in terms of truma, and continues on the next number. So next.